This episode will change the way you measure the success of your podcast. I chat with co-host podcasting CEO Fatima Zaidi. What a powerhouse woman. She totally amazes me, honestly. She shares what metrics you should be looking at, including show consumption, how to track listener engagement, how to know where your listeners are coming from, and what benchmarks matter. If you are interested in any way to improve the success of your podcast, take a listen. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey guys, we are in for a treat today. I'm talking to Fatima Zaidi, and she is an absolute powerhouse of a woman and a Canadian who is in Toronto. And honestly, woman, you totally amaze me. She is the founder and CEO of Quill and a podcasting and co-host podcasting. And she's involved with Sick Kids Hospital and on the board. I could go on and on about all her accomplishments. It's crazy, but I will have them in the show notes because you are an absolute inspiration. You're amazing.
Aw, thank you so much, Lindsay. I really appreciate the kind words and I'm thrilled to be here. Hi, everyone. Great to be connected. And this is definitely the podcast to tune into.
Aw, thank you. Yeah. And I love talking to other women in the industry. There is one thing I want to ask you before we kind of dive into kind of like how to track your data, how to understand if your podcast is working, is that I noticed that you use a phrase that was branded podcast. And I have heard that said a few times, but I feel like there's a distinction that a lot of people don't understand. So can you just share what that means and why it's important?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think back in the day when podcasting wasn't a household name, independent creators were creating really great content. And there was this term indie content or indie content creators. And that essentially meant like an individual creative putting out really great audio format shows. But it wasn't necessarily tied to a company or a brand or an organization or even a personal brand. It was just like independent content, whether it was Serial or We Forget to Inform You or a particular doc style narrative show that was going out. Now, I would say in the last few years, ever since COVID especially, we've seen this massive incline towards brands, companies, and solopreneurs and influencers wanting to put out content and be positioned as a subject matter expert, a thought leader, and the go-to on a particular topic. And that is the term branded podcast when you're not necessarily an independent creative show, but really tied to a larger organization or a brand. And so our agency, Quill, specializes in that term branded podcast, which I would say within podcasting is a generally new category.
I agree. And it's like, and I always say like your podcast is not a silo. It's a part of your brand, a part of your company. It's a part of your marketing ecosystem, and should be treated as such. So yeah, I just love that term and thought we'd just touch upon it quickly. So thanks for that.
I love that you said that too, because I think it's so important for brands to understand that you're not supposed to think of your show as an isolated podcast. You should be converting all your transcript into SEO formatted blogs. You should be taking bite-sized social content and putting it on YouTube, TikTok, and other channels where your audience might live. And if you're doing a blog and if you're doing social, then this is a natural next step. And I think a lot of people fall into the trap of thinking of it as just a podcast rather than the 360 marketing strategy.
Absolutely. And it's in essence, really, it's another long form piece of content. Like before it was always just blogs. And now it's like podcast is the other long form. And even like great video content that is like a foundational piece of content that you can like, you know, do all these things to.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody consumes content in a different way. Like I prefer audio. Some people prefer reading. Some people prefer watching. So for a long time, it's been a content medium that's been ignored other than like on-demand radio.
Yeah. So true. So let's dive into analytics. Because what I love about co-host podcasting For you guys that aren't familiar with it, it's a hosting platform, but it is so much more. And analytics is so key in getting the best ROI out of your podcasting. There's a lot of time and, you know, money involved in podcasting. How do you know when you're on the right track and you're doing all the right things?
Well, for starters, I would say the downloads and unique listeners is one very small piece of the puzzle, mm-hmm. which is, you know, ironic considering how much emphasis the entire industry puts on those two metrics. So many podcasters I talk to, and you ask them about their metrics and their data, and the only information that they actually know of is how many downloads and listeners they have, if they know the distinction between downloads and listeners, that
yes.
is. So right off the bat, I would say like our entire organization is focused on moving the data forward in the industry, and we're more bogged down by the engagement metrics than we are about the number of people that you're reaching. Podcasting, I think, is a tactic. It's very different from digital marketing. If you're trying to reach mass amounts of people, mm-hmm. then you should be, you know, investing in SEO and digital ads. But if you're trying to reach an engaged and niche audience, then podcasting is the way to go. And that's actually one of my favorite things about branded shows is, you know, you're only reaching those who are interested in your content. So your yeah. audience, no matter how big or small, is highly relevant and qualified to be interacting with your brand. So the metrics that matter to us are things like average consumption rate. So we actually report on that in co-host. We show you how much of your show are people listening to. Are they dropping off in like the first 20% mm-hmm. of your podcast? Are they staying all the way to the end? We're soon adding episode consumption as well. So you can see by episode Ooh. Where the drop-offs are happening. And that way you can actually change your content, tweak your content strategy yeah. real time. We care about things like tracking links. So where are your downloads coming in from? Which channels are working? Which aren't? Is it Facebook? Is it your newsletter? Is it guests promoting the show? And that way you can really prioritize your time rather than trying to do everything and be everywhere. And we care really about like demographic data, age, gender, household income, occupation of listeners. We just launched
That granular.
Co-host brands. Yeah, very granular. We try to get as granular as we can. We just launched co-host brands for our enterprise package on co-host, and we can show you which companies are launching on the podcast. And that we've done because essentially what we're trying to do is make sure that people are reaching the right listeners rather than just any listener. And that is a huge priority for us because, again, engagement and loyal listeners and retention matters to me maybe more than are there 30,000 downloads who aren't listening to your podcast or only listening totally. To 5%.
Or they're not even your ideal client. And mm-hmm. I think you pulled in a good word, and that's niching. And because I have seen where a lot of entrepreneurs put out like a business growth or success podcast of sorts, but it does, you know, cover so many people where sure you might have 30,000 listeners, but like how many of them are actually your ideal client that want to engage and convert and like work with you? Where if you're niching down and your podcast is something very specific, it's so much easier to target mm-hmm. your exact market. And I imagine when you're getting these analytics, you can see the proof is in the pudding kind of a thing mm-hmm. and to be able to tweak like what you're doing to get better success.
100%. I mean, that's really the whole reason that we launched co-host. We initially didn't want to launch it publicly for the world. We built it for ourselves. We were the problem. We were the case study. We were building it for ourselves. Like we were so tired of reaching out to all these hosting platforms that we were using and not getting the data that we needed. And we work exclusively with Fortune 500 to 1000 mm-hmm. brands on the production side of our business. And like just telling them how many downloads or listeners isn't going to help justify ROI and justify the creation of new production budgets and seasons. So we right. knew that either we had to build co-host or the future of branded podcasts is going to be really hard. And so ultimately I would say that, you know, exactly what you said, which is it's about reaching the right listener. I had one of our first clients who came to us. They said they were a banking client and they wanted to launch a podcast on open banking. And I remember telling them, nobody is going to want to listen to a podcast on open banking. Like that sounds so dry and boring to me. And it's one of the most successful podcasts that we have. Like, I cannot tell you how many listeners they get, fan mail. These people are tuning in all over the world. And I think it's because the topic is so niche and the audience is so dedicated that anybody in the world who is interested in open banking, there are apparently a lot of them, they're constantly tuning into this podcast. And that's the way that you should think of it in terms of a strategy. And if you understand that, using your data to manipulate and make your content better, that's really the purpose of your hosting platform.
I love it. And the fact that you can see, like, I just want to expand on this a little bit in regards to your consumption reporting. Like if you're finding out that someone's only listening halfway through, and then meanwhile, your commercial is like 30 seconds after that, and someone's paying for advertising dollars or whatever, like, that's not going to work. Or if your intro is miles long and people are like, man, and they're dropping off, you know, after the first 30 seconds because they're just give me the goods, then you can make informed decisions and you're not like throwing spaghetti against a wall.
Well, that's exactly it. And I think it's funny that you say that because you know to look out for that. But I can guarantee you a lot of advertisers and sponsors are not asking for average consumption rate as a metric. They just care about the downloads and the unique listener reach. But you should be asking for, you know, where are the drop-off points happening to make sure that your ad is actually being listened to. So that's how we use Co-Host. We spend hours on the production side of the business, putting together analytics reports to help our clients understand the ROI of their show. And Co-Host has really helped make our lives easier. Actually, this summer, we're launching a new feature, automated reporting. So the click of a button, it consolidates everything into a report for you and shows you like what's working, what's not working, insights, what you need to change. It's a work in progress, but I will say it's something that's been missing for a very long time. Chartable, they had a good run with it. They were doing the right things. They were moving in the right direction until they got acquired. And now their product got shelved by Spotify.
I did not know that. And yeah,
well, they were acquired. The product is still running. But as is with all companies, when acquired, the innovation generally stops.
Oh, good point. Yeah, yeah. And so where, because Chartable, like I know they have a whole stat section. But they feel like it's more about ranking. Like, how do you, because podcasters are like, where am I ranking? How do I even figure out where I'm ranking? And then there's the downloads and listeners. I mean, obviously there's so much more, but where does that fall in for you?
Yeah, I would say rankings can help. They're like a touch point or one of the many metrics that you can use to measure engagement and brand awareness, more so brand awareness than engagement. But I would say if the rankings aren't helping you actually convert listeners, that ultimately isn't necessarily something that's a growth tactic. And so we're like very bogged down in terms of like, how do you increase your audience? How do you actually grow your show? How do you grow your listeners? We're working on it with the product. We added automatic transcriptions this year. So you can, all of your content is automatically transcribed for SEO purposes as well as accessibility purposes. And then we're thinking about doing some, you know, integrated paid media work as well, where you can promote your show through your hosting platform. But all in all, I would say without the data, you won't really know where the gaps are in your show. Yeah. And so that's really the first step for us, is providing those insights.
I love that. And I want to touch upon the, you were talking about the track, the link tracking. Can you explain a little bit more about how that works and how it can kind of give you the data that you can use?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just say you launch your show trailer or an episode. Essentially what we do is it's called one link consolidated tracking, and essentially you can use that link to promote across all of your channels. It's not like you have to create multiple links, you just use the one link. We track its source, where the downloads are coming in from, and you can use that on your social channels and the show notes of your episodes. You can give them to your guests, you can give them to your marketing teams internally, whoever you want to promote your show, your newsletter. Use that one link, and then when people click on that link, we track at source where they've come from. And so we can show you what are your top performing channels? What are your lowest performing channels? Which, you know, episodes did really well? Where did the downloads come in from? And then not only can we show you how many people clicked on the link, we can show you how many people actually listened to the podcast.
Oh, wow.
So when you look at our link analytics database or interface, you can see things like, well, your most downloads came in from Y Combinator, followed by Facebook, followed by this particular, newsletter that you sent out. And then if you wanted, you could get even more granular with specific episodes. So like this particular guest brought in X amount of downloads, for example, or this particular promotion brought in X amount of listeners. And so that information is really important to us as an agency, because that shows us where we need to be marketing and spending our time. Like if Facebook's working really well, do we want to do more promotion and advertising there? If a particular paid media campaign we run brought in the most downloads, and we should allocate more ad spend. If some of the organic tactics are working, then maybe that's where we need to utilize our spend and time. Mm-hmm. So it just prevents us from having to try everything and be everywhere at once.
Seriously, right? And so from, because I know you were like, how to get qualified leads from your podcast, how to like look at those marketing growth benchmarks. Like, how do you take that data one step further to figure out, okay, I'm getting all these listeners, Facebook is working, they're, you know, people are clicking and listening. Like, how do you know if you're getting the ROI out of it in the end?
Yeah, so the ROI is a really interesting term. We spend a lot of time discussing what does that mean. You know, it's a tenuous kind of ROI. It's like PR. It's intangible. So how do you measure that it's working? And so I think different clients of ours and different people in the industry measure it differently. What we're trying to do this year is really move away from saying that podcasting is the brand awareness tactic and provide more quantifiable KPIs on how a podcast can impact a brand and a brand's bottom line. That's actually why we introduced co-host brands as a feature, because now some of our clients will export those lists, give them to their sales teams, and add an MQL every month to their CRM tools, or be able to see, well, how many of their active clients are listening to their podcast, and how many people are listening to their podcast who aren't active clients that they should be reaching out to and generating leads with. It's also a really great sponsorship and monetization tool. So if you have particular companies listening to your show, well, they could be a very qualified sponsor for your podcast. So that's like one way to measure ROI. The other thing I would say is not enough people measure or calculate the cost per minute of human attention as an engagement metric. Like that should be a KPI around ROI. Podcasting is really unique in that you can use listening time as an engagement metric. It's really the only content medium where you can do that. And so typically I would say the cost per minute of human attention, you know, 94% of people who start a podcast end up listening to the entire episode, whereas a 30-minute video only has a 20% or 12% completion rate. And so one way I think that all brands and podcasters should calculate ROI is calculating that engagement metric piece, the cost per minute of human attention. How engaged are your audiences? So seeing where the drop-offs are happening and seeing how long they're retained for, that to me is ROI based. Repeat and loyal listeners is another huge ROI metric for me. Actually, this summer, we're working on our audience profile tab. We're adding an engagement section where we can show you loyal listeners, repeat listeners, binge listeners, and new listeners over a short period of time. So you can actually, when speaking with sponsors and monetizers, be able to say, I have X amount of downloads, but I also, like, this is how engaged they are.
I love it. My mind is blown. And I think, like, we just, as podcasters, we need to be more informed about what's going on in the back end and not just rely on the downloads and the ranking and taking a shot in the dark and just, like you said, doing everything and hoping it works. And I just find, like, as podcasting evolves, we can't just take it for granted that we launch a podcast and everything's going to be okay.
The existence of your show, unfortunately, is not news, just like the existence of your company is not news in the PR world. I think it's very hard these days to create a podcast and then expect that your audience is just going to miraculously show up. That's probably why we have such a large volume of inactive shows. Many podcasters start enthusiastically with a show, wanting instant gratification and not realizing that podcasting is a marathon, not a sprint. And so by default, I would say, like, if you in 2007 were on Twitter, you're an influencer today if you kept going. And same with podcasting. If you've been podcasting the last few years or today, in the next 5 to 10 years, you'll see that, you know, snowball effect continue. And, you know, everyone says Joe Rogan is like the mecca of podcasts. And I think Joe Rogan sucks. I think his content sucks. But the one thing that he has been able to do is he's the OG podcaster and he's continued putting out content. Whether it's good or bad is, like, I think up for debate. But
yeah,
he has understood that it's a marathon, not a sprint. And he was podcasting when it was not like a household name. And by default today, he's that, like, influencer in podcasting. And I think people need to understand that you need to keep going. You need to keep putting out great content, keep understanding your data, keep improving and iterating. And eventually you'll wake up one day and be like, "Ooh, I have 250,000 listeners tuning into my show. How did that happen?"
I know. I love that. And I love that you brought up Joe Rogan, because I find that entrepreneurs, even before they launch and as they launch, they have, expectations that are kind of out in left field because they're looking at Joe Rogan, or they're looking at, you know, Entrepreneur on Fire and John Lee Dumas, or like these, you know, big gurus that clearly are making a ton of money, but they're looking at them as the benchmark that, oh, I want to be them, or they just have their expectations are unrealistic. Which can be super deflating.
Super deflating. And honestly, I think we need to start a hashtag trend, which is be better than Rogan. because I think he's not a great content creator. And I think but you know what he has done really well? He's a very niche target audience, which is what makes you successful in podcasting. Yeah. If you are creating a show on, like, the best business interviews, you're competing with the Guy Razzes of the world. If you're, you know, creating a show on, if you're creating a Netflix show on small town Canadian, like, comedy, you're competing with the Schitt's Creeks of the world. Like, the whole point is to find a topic that hasn't been covered, find a niche audience that you know is going to be interested in your content. And that is what's going to make you successful over time.
Yeah.
And Joe Rogan has cracked that. He's a very, very specific ideal listener profile.
And I think too, when it's those ones that are like at that extremely top tier, it's like, I always say, you know, Gary V could do a post about his toilet and it's still going to get 50,000 views on it. It doesn't, he's just, regardless, same with like Tony Robbins, like anything he does, whether it's crap or good, it's going to get a million views.
Right. So, once you're an influencer, you're an influencer. Yeah. And I think that's not why you should become a podcaster. I think you should put out a podcast if you want to become a thought leader, if you want to provide value to people, if you want to educate or inspire or entertain. I think if you're good at your job, the success will follow. But it's like building your business. There's no instant gratification. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And doesn't matter how hard you try to find those shortcuts, if you are like comparing yourselves or wanting to change Joe Rogan's status, you're already setting yourself up to fail.
Absolutely. And so to you, like, for me, it's like downloads and rankings, like, it's nice. Like, you know, I get a notification from Good Pods, your number this. I'm like, yay. and I really more use it as like a promo tool, like, come look at my podcast. But it's like, if I get good connections or collaborations or partnerships, or I get clients from my podcast in a consistent manner, then I'm like, to me, that's success. Or if I have comments that come in that that episode was so helpful, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, and what I'm trying to say here, long-winded, but is that success is slightly different for everyone, right? But are there specific benchmarks that we should be looking at besides, oh, I need 50,000 downloads per episode and I need to rank at the 1.5% in 6 months or less?
Yeah, I would say there's quite a few. I would say that you should be aiming for a 75% average consumption rate or higher. Mm-hmm. Anything in like the 70th or 80th percentile is considered to be excellent. Anything above 60% is considered to be good. So, like, trying to achieve that in terms of like making sure people are staying on all the way to the end. We are actually thinking about adding listener scores into our hosting platform. And essentially what that does is you can input who your ideal listener is. you know, age, gender, household
Yeah.
income, occupation, locational data. And then because we can, we are mostly providing some of that data or trying to, we give you a listener score to show you how close you are to achieving your ideal listener profile. Like, are you reaching 20% of your listener score? Are you achieving, you know, 100% of the listeners you're trying to reach? That I think keeps people really honest about, are they reaching the right audiences,
yeah.
or maybe tailoring or tweaking either the content to match, to draw in more of those people, or maybe you should change who you're trying to reach in terms of an audience. Maybe your content
Right.
just doesn't appeal to those C-suite executives that you're trying to reach, and younger millennial professionals are more so interested in your content. I think data is power, so it really is just informing you. And then I would say, the other benchmark that you should try to achieve is consistency in content, and frequency of content as well. So if you decide that the last Wednesday of every month at 5 a.m., you're going to drop an episode, sticking to that posting cadence.
Yeah.
So A, that your SEO patterns aren't interrupted, but also that your listeners know and trust that you're serious about your show and that you are going to be dropping content on the last Wednesday of every month rather than Wednesday one day, Tuesday another
Yeah,
day,
yeah.
waiting 3 months before your next episode happens, which a lot of podcasters do. There's
No.
like an infrequency of the posting cadence. And so that to me is another huge benchmark, is to make sure you keep going.
Yeah, I agree. One quick question before we wrap up. I'm curious to know your thoughts on podcast series versus when you have a podcast and it's just continually ongoing.
I am a huge fan of podcast seasons, similar to Netflix show or Crave or Amazon Prime show. Love the seasons. And the reason I love the seasons is it gives you time in between your episodes and your content to really think about what's going well, what's not going well. Do you need to rebrand, using your data to iterate on concepts, structures, formats? If you just blindly keep creating content, you're just looking to meet those deadlines rather than taking a step back in between seasons and doing an autopsy of like what's going well and what's not. Most of our clients, actually all of our clients, are broken up into seasons, and
oh,
any
nice.
Season can be between 6 to 24 episodes.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we'll do 2 or 3 seasons a year, but we try to give it at least 3 to 4 weeks between seasons where we like actually do a big deep dive into their analytics and think about, sometimes we'll survey their listeners, collect feedback, figure out what do we want to change for the next season? How can we make it bigger and better? If you just continuously keep creating content, you're not thinking about improving the show. You're just thinking about pushing out content, and it's
yeah,
just
yeah.
repetitive, not iterative.
I love that. You have given us so many good benchmarks, but things to think about to improve our podcasting, and not just podcasting for the sake of doing it because everyone else is doing it. You
Yes.
want to get results, but podcasters need to understand, what do I need to do to get good results, and what do I need to look at to get better? And
100%.
So, yeah, appreciate your insights. Yeah, some really good nuggets of info there for sure.
And congratulations to you. You've been podcasting for many years. Obviously the proof is in the pudding. And again, like building your business, you've just sort of kept going like it's a marathon, and it's a great show.
Thank you. I appreciate that because I have great guests like you. Yeah. And I am excited. I will announce that I will be moving over to co-host podcasting. So I will, yeah, be showcasing some of the back end pieces and some of the cool features, and be open and let people know how great it is and what it looks like on
Thank
the back
you.
End. Yeah, I'm
so
excited.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. All right. Till next time, folks. Thanks for joining us. And of course, head to smoothbusinessgrowth.com for all the show notes and lots of different resources. And go to cohostpodcasting.com to check out Cohost. And if you're a big brand, you also can go to quillpodcasting.com, and obviously I'll have the links in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining me, Fatima.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you want to leverage your podcast for higher ROI, then get my free podcast leverage system training at leverageyourpodcast.com/free.